So today we're doing a deep dive into a really fundamental question. When you have a brilliant idea, where does it actually come from?
Does it come from you or does it come to you?
Exactly,
Yeah.
because this gets at the core assumption of, well, pretty much the modern world.
Right. Metaphysical naturalism, the idea that everything is physical, there's nothing outside the box.
And in this view, your brain is what, like a biological computer, a generator?
It has to be. It's a causally closed physical system. Every thought, every spark of genius has to start and end right there inside your skull.
But if that's true, then the whole thing rests on a very fragile claim.
It does. It rests on a negative. The idea that there has never been a single verifiable piece of information that entered the mind from a non-physical source.
So all it takes is one black swan, one proven case, and the whole model is in trouble.
Which brings us back to the central question: is the brain a generator or is it an antenna?
To really dig into this, we probably need a better way to talk about creativity.
We do. And for that, we're turning to Urdu literary tradition. It has this fantastic distinction between two modes of thought.
Okay, what are they?
The first is called award. Think of it as the effort,
A grind.
the grind, exactly. It's described as juice forcibly squeezed out of grapes. It's conscious, deliberate work. This fits perfectly with naturalism, your brain just processing data it already
Right,
has.
that makes sense. But what's the other one?
The other one is amad. It means the arrival.
Oh, that's so different.
Completely different. It's a spontaneous flood of complex, structured information that arrives fully formed without any conscious effort. The person receiving it feels more like a vessel, a channel.
Okay, but hold on. How is that really different from just, having a great idea in the shower? Couldn't that just be your subconscious working away in the background?
That's the key question, and the difference comes down to a simple principle. Output must be less than or equal to input.
Meaning you can't get more out of the system than you put in?
Exactly. Your subconscious can be brilliant at rearranging existing data, but it can't create a totally new data structure from nothing. Amad suggests it can.
All right, let's get into the case studies. I think this is where it gets really compelling. Let's start with the mathematician Srinivasa Ramanujan.
An incredible mind. He produced almost 4,000 revolutionary formulas. We use his work today to study black holes.
And his formal training was what? Very limited.
Extremely limited. And when asked where these ideas came from, he said his family goddess, Namagiri Thayar, showed him scrolls containing complex mathematical content in his mind's eye.
So his output was just wildly out of proportion to his input.
Massively. It's a huge challenge to the closed system model. It looks a lot like a transmission.
Okay, so that's math. Let's talk about chemistry. Dmitri Mendeleev.
Right. So he'd been struggling for years to find an order to the elements. The award, the effort had completely failed him. He was exhausted.
And then what happened?
He fell asleep at his desk and saw the entire periodic table complete in a dream. He woke up and wrote it all down immediately.
It wasn't just a random assortment either. It revealed the deep structure of reality.
It did. It even allowed him to predict the existence and properties of elements that hadn't been discovered yet, like gallium. He was accessing a database that wasn't in his head.
This next one is maybe the most stunning. Otto Loewi and the discovery of how nerves communicate.
His Nobel-winning discovery, the idea for the crucial experiment transferring fluid between two frog hearts to prove nerve transmission was chemical, came to him in a vivid dream.
But the dream didn't just give him the idea, did it?
No, and this is the killer detail. The dream woke him up and compelled him to go to his lab at 3 in the morning to do the experiment right then.
And the timing was everything.
Everything. We now know that at that specific time, a certain enzyme, cholinesterase, is suppressed. If he had waited until later in the morning, the enzyme would have broken down the chemical he was trying to detect, and the experiment would have failed.
So the dream contained knowledge about enzymatic kinetics that he himself did not consciously have.
Precisely. It's an unbelievable case of Ahmad.
When you stack all these up, Ramanujan, Mendeleev, Loewi, it starts to look like a real pattern, and it aligns very closely with, well, a theological perspective.
It does. For example, in Islamic theology, there's the concept of al-alim, the all-knowing. The idea is that knowledge isn't created by humans, it's bestowed.
So the mind is a receiver.
It's a receptive faculty. And true dreams, Riyasadika, are considered a legitimate form of knowledge, a minor form of prophecy. If these scientific breakthroughs arrived via Ahmad, then that one white crow has been found.
The system isn't closed. It's permeable.
The evidence points that way.
The big takeaway here seems to be that the universe might be, communicative.
Yeah.
That the human mind is less of a computer and more of an antenna, tuned to something more.
And that leaves a final thought for you to mull over. Consider this. Are the most fundamental truths of our universe, the laws governing black holes, the structure of molecules, are they things we figure out through sheer computational effort? Or are they a continuous transmission, a signal we're just learning how to receive?